Have you ever heard this phrase? If you don't stand up for something, you fall for anything. You know, I don't think that statement is any more true than it is today. I think people, I don't know what they're saying. They might not even know what they're standing up for. They're just standing or protesting, I guess is the word today. They just don't know what they're standing for. And I don't know if people understand what they're falling for. We've been talking about this battle that's taken place in our world. It's a spiritual battle. We call it the invisible battle between forces of light and forces of dark, good, evil, truth, lies, righteousness, unrighteousness. It's an invisible battle. And we'll say, Pastor, what do you mean that there's a battle? I didn't know that our army and military was involved in a battle. It's not a physical battle. It's a spiritual battle that everybody who participated in communion this morning and everybody who proclaims Jesus Christ as Lord is in. You see, God's enemy is our enemy. And we're going to name that enemy like we did a few weeks ago. Who is the enemy of God? Satan, the devil. Who is our enemy? Satan, the devil. Do you see that there's a battle today? The enemy has three agendas. He comes out to distract us, to divide us, and to destroy us. Revealing, it's not a new agenda. We can see in the Bible how he has tried to distract the people of God, how he's tried to divide the people and to destroy the people of God. His tactics aren't new, but they sure have intensified. Can I get an amen about that? So we decided to talk about spiritual warfare. Now, I'm not sure if you've ever understood spiritual warfare, but it's a topic that a lot of Christians, a lot of pastors don't like to talk about, because it's going to be a difficult time for them, plain and simple. I'm telling you right now, if you've gone through the series that we've gone through called CrossFit, it's a lot easier to talk about spiritual battle when you become fit in the cross of Jesus Christ. And so we looked at the key passage. There's several, but the key passage that we've camped on is found in the book of Ephesians. It's the 6th chapter. And I hope you have the sword of the Spirit with you, which Ruth reminded us last week. That is what? The Word of God. And it's a sharp sword. It's a two-edged sword. Pierces and divides. It's also called the light. A light unto our path. Have your word with you and open up to the New Testament, to the book of Ephesians. So we've called this series SWAT. And S-W-A-T is spiritual warfare and tactics. And we understand that in this series, God has laid out for us four instructions for you and I to accept into our life because we're in the spiritual battle. And we looked at the first one. It says we need to pause. We need to pause to make sure we know who's the real enemy out there. And Paul describes perfectly in Ephesians 6 that there are four battle fronts. Now listen to me very carefully. The first two are physical. They're in the human realm, the physical realm. The second two are in the spiritual realm. He says there are four fronts. There are rulers and authorities who will wage war against us. Rulers, those are kings. The kings, the rulers of the land, who's ever in charge of the country. Now, some countries today have kings, and that's sometimes a king. Can they be a good king? Can they be an evil king? Absolutely. Just like in the Bible, there are good kings and there are evil kings today. Then he says there are authorities. So you got rulers, kings, then you got authorities. People who have been given authority to execute the king's or the ruler's wishes. So today, can you say that there are good authorities out there? Can you say that there are evil authorities out there? And so part of the battlefront that we have in this spiritual warfare is we fight against rulers and authorities who oppose God. We're gathering in Jesus' name, and we are standing up for truth and righteousness. And you might be one of those people who say, well, Pastor, how come you're gathering? How come you're assembling? Well, if you didn't get that email that I sent out a week and a half ago, I would love to send it to you again. Other half of the four fronts, and that's when he describes them as powers of this dark world. And then spiritual forces of heavenly places. And so, of course, that is prepare. So we need to prepare, which means to acquaint and activate every one of God's spiritual pieces of armor he gives us. Why six? Because each one of those six pieces of armor addresses six tactics of the enemy, or what the Bible says, the schemes of the devil. And so we talked about the tactics of the enemy and how the different pieces, like the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes fitted with the gospel of peace, the belt of truth, how those address the tactics. And we closed it last week with Pastor Ruth giving us the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So now today we're going to look at the third portion of these instructions, and that is one where we talk about posture. Learning how to stand firm even when others are falling around you. Do you know that the Bible says as we approach the end times, the days before Christ comes back, we get in these what we call the birthing pains of the end times, that there will be a great falling out, a falling away from the faith because things are getting difficult. And so Paul wanted to make sure that we learn as soldiers of Christ how to have proper posture and stand firm, even when those around us are falling away. This time I want to read for you Ephesians chapter 6, but out of the translation called the Modern English Translation. It says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power, and put on the full armor of God, so that you can" what? "Take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against" what? Number one, "rulers, against authorities, against powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces in heavenly places. Therefore, since we have a battle, therefore, since we're in such a fight, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to" what? "Stand your ground." After you've done everything to stand, you will be found standing if you put on all the armor of God and you've done everything you can do to stand your ground. Then, stand firm with what? The belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. And in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And then take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That is where we've been camping for several weeks, trying to unpack it and figure out how it applies to us today, August 2nd, 2020. I believe some churches have been standing strong in their faith. And I believe some churches have not been. I am not their judge, but I am only going to do what God has told me to do, and that is to stand firm in these days of evil against rulers, against authorities, against evil powers of this in this world, and against spiritual evil forces in heavenly places. And I'm going to stand firm, and I'm going to learn how to stand firm today. And that is our posture. So what we're going to do is talk briefly about how to stand firm and why to stand firm. So this morning, let's start off with why should we stand firm when it seems like everybody else around us or so many people are falling away? And so let's start off with this question, why stand firm? Because Jesus said often, he talked about the spiritual battle. In fact, on the Olivet Discourse, his last most significant teaching, I believe, as he was on the Mount of Olives, peering over the Kidron Valley, over to the Temple Mount, he gave his disciples a teaching, we call it the Olivet Discourse, about what these end times are going to be like. And they knew that the end times were just around the corner. But he left them with a promise. We read in Matthew 24, verse 13, Jesus concludes this. He says, "But he who stands firm to the end will be saved." Look at this word, stand firm. Obviously, Paul's addressing this teaching with a soldier, a Roman soldier in mind. And stand firm, of course, is a military term, which really means hold your position. The word retreat is not ever supposed to be in the Christian's vocabulary or the Christian's activity. Hold your ground. Stand your position. Stay there. The Greek word for stand, it's a unique word. It's only used 8 times in the Old Testament, this particular form of it. It's called a stako. And literally, this reminds me of driving a stake into the ground to hold something in place. And so you stake down your faith, you pound it down to a firm foundation about those songs that we sang about. And you stake your place, and you cannot move. You're sure-footed. And that's what Paul is telling us, that your posture is to stand firm, to be stako, firmly planted. Your posture is hold your position. I read a blog. You know what a blog is. Electronic article. And the title is, Why Are So Many Christians Running Away? So in my study, in my preparation, I thought that's really appropriate. Why are so many Christians running away? Why aren't so many Christians standing up? Because if you're not standing up, you're basically what? Falling away. The person who wrote this blog was a pastor, so he gave 5 reasons why so many people are falling away today or not standing up. And of course, they all start with the letter P. First one was pride. So many people are failing to stand up because they have issues with pride. Well, pastor, what do you mean? Is having pride wrong? When you're prideful of self, it gives way to sin. The Bible talks a lot about pride. In fact, we read in Psalm chapter 10, verse 4, his pride, the pride of the wicked, they don't seek the Lord in all their ways because there's no room left for God. You're so puffed up, that's the Hebrew word for pride, you're so puffed up with self that you don't rely on God, you don't leave room for God anymore. And I'm telling you that for a lot of church-going Christians, a lot of believers, we bring God into our stuff when our plan A never worked. We don't bring God into our finances until we have no other place to turn. And we say, Lord, will you please take care of my finances? And God was saying, well, are you so prideful that you didn't allow me to be in your finances in the beginning? We've become so prideful that instead of calling God for 411, remember, why do you use 411 on phones? For information. Instead, we reserve God for 911. Why do you use 911? Save me, Lord. In fact, you know what Proverbs 16:18 says. Pride what? Goes before the destruction or the fall. A haughty spirit before the fall. Pride gets in our way. There's another P, pain. People are falling away when things hurt. Things are uncomfortable in their life. God, I thought when I gave my heart to you, everything was going to be good. I'm healed. I'm sanctified. No more pain. No more struggles. No more this. No more that. Life is going to be great, right? Isn't that what the prosperity gospel teaches us? But what does my Bible, not my discount Bible, the real Bible, what does it say? Expect hardship. Expect pain. You live in a fallen, a broken world. If you're living according to truth and righteousness, you're going to experience hardship in this world because you're opposing. It's a broken world. It's a sin-filled world where there is disease, our painful experiences, broken relationships. Well, God, if you truly loved me, you wouldn't allow me to go through those things. Just read one book in the Old Testament, Job. God allows, and we've talked about this several reasons, God allows us to make up our own choices sometimes, knowing that we'll pay the consequence of those choices. Pain, you either brought pain into your own life or someone brought pain into your life that was uninvited. And some people say that's one of the reasons why so many people are falling away from the faith or not standing up. There's another P, and that is passion. Well, wait a minute, Pastor. It sounds like Aren't we supposed to be passionate for the Lord? Yes, we're supposed to be passionate. This is a different kind of passion. It's really when you're basing your life on faith or feelings. So passion, we're actually using the word, it's symbolizing the word emotions. And we've talked about emotionalism before. Emotionalism is basing one's spiritual decisions or priorities on something, how your temporary feeling or going through. It's being led or being controlled rather by feelings, rather by the knowledge of what your faith has given to you. Again, Paul said to the Corinthians, chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, "Brother, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully or passionately to the work of the Lord, because you know that you don't labor in vain." I think a lot of people are frustrated right now. Maybe this is why they're not standing up, because they don't feel like the Lord cares about them. Seems like the Lord doesn't care about what we're going through. I'm going to beg to differ. He does. But we're living in something called free will. In addition to that, we're living in the birth pains of the end times coming. We live in a fallen, sinful world where truth and righteousness isn't standing up like it once stood on a mountain bright and light. Instead, we're hiding. Oh, we can't have church. I despise it when I hear this phrase, "The church is closed." The church is never closed. Scattering, and we're forced to go out there and say, "Pastor, aren't you mad that we can't be the church gathered?" Yeah, I was mad, but oh my goodness, the power of the gospel that went out when we became the church scattered by no choice of our own, but we were forced to scatter. Then we're drawing a line and saying, "What do you mean? No, no, we are coming together as the body of Christ, gathered and scattered. I am passionate about standing firm for the Lord. And I believe that when we are driven by faith, not by feelings, not by the emotions of what's going on, Jesus can receive more glory through our story." So there are three things why people aren't standing up. I told you there was five. Now this one I had to help out the author a little bit, because now it says phony premises. Because it starts with P, which really is false teaching. People are falling away from faith because they're buying into false teaching, phony premises. I mentioned a moment ago the health, wealth, and prosperity gospel. If you give us, you know, $15 a month, and if you plant a seed of cash, God's going to answer you. Name it, claim it. Mature believers, Bible-based believers, know that that is malarkey. Can I say that word? All right. Abusive, spiritual abuse. Yeah, we can claim the promises of God that he give us. But you know what? Almost all the promises are conditional. Because almost all the promises in the Bible that you read, not all of them, but almost, all have the word "if" or something similar. If you do this, I will do that. Problem is, I want God to give me the promise. He wants me to stand up to my part of the deal as well. And now, false teaching is nothing new. But I'm telling you right now, when you remove Jesus and the blood of Jesus and the gospel away from the teaching of the church, you are part of the false teaching. When you don't believe in the indwelling Holy Spirit, who God gave you as a seal of his redemption in your life, and he gives it as a purpose to mold you into the image of Christ, you may be going down the road of false teaching. We have to understand that there's a lot of teaching going out there that may look and sound like Jesus, but it's not Jesus. We've talked about false religions before. Remember that study I did? I had that image of a pair of boxing gloves, Jesus versus. And every week we filled in the blank, Jesus versus. And we looked at all these world religions. Maybe sometime we need to talk about, on a few Sundays, what are today's false teachings? What are some of the teachings being accepted by the world and some by the church that are not biblically based? You'll know it's a false teaching if it doesn't line up with the Word of God. And if you don't know what the Word of God says, you didn't take Ruth at her challenge last week. Don't fall for being a lazy Christian by only reading the Word of God when your pastor preaches it to you on a Sunday morning. Take the Word of God that I'm sharing with you today throughout the rest of the week and rightly divide it and make sure that I am not saying something wrong or proposing a false teaching. Be wise, the Bible says. The enemy is trying to sow darkness as light. Oh, what about Isaiah 5:20? Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness as light and light for darkness. 2 Timothy 3, chapter 3, verse 1 through 5. There will be terrible times in these end days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to the parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Have nothing to do with these people. Does that sound like today? It does. There was another reason why people are not standing firm and standing up. It's because of pitfalls. Oh, what's another word for pitfalls? Trials. Hard times. People who understand that standing up for Jesus can be a difficult time. You don't believe me? Just put something about Jesus on Facebook. Well, I don't want to. I don't want to cause any stirring of the waters. Life is peaceful. I don't want that. Really? Is that standing firm or is that being in a lazy boy recliner at home? So we need Christians who are willing to accept the hardships because the Bible says that's what brings about maturity. And again, just like pain, in our story, God can receive his glory. But hardships are also promised to those who are believers in this life. Paul said, again, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, no temptation has seized you except for what is common to man. And God, he is faithful. He will not yet let you be tempted to what you cannot bear. But when you are, not if, when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so you can stand up under it. John 16:33. Jesus says, I have told you, I have said all these things to you so that you might find peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and many sorrows, but take heart or stand firm because I have overcome the world. Now, is that enough for us to understand why we should stand up, why people are falling and failing? Yeah. Well, let's talk about how. How do we stand firm? Now, I want you to understand that there's a passage that the Lord gave me, again, written by Paul. Anything between the front cover and the back cover, you should read. You can skip over the glossary of terms and the concordance if you want. Everything else is good, for his word is alive and active, and it's a light unto my path in this dark world. If you're not using the word of God, then you're trying to run around at night with a solar-powered battery on your flashlight. Eventually, what? It's going to give out. How do you stand firm in 2020? When so many people are falling over or not standing up, how can you stand up? But Paul, again, he wrote to the church in Corinth. You've got to understand, I'm referencing the book of 1 Corinthians a lot today. It'll be a great book for you to start reading now that we've almost completed the book of Ephesians chapter 6. Get now into 1 Corinthians because there you're going to find in chapter 16, verses 13 and 14, it's an amazing two verses, but they're short verses. It's real simple. Paul is saying to the Corinthian church, who was under great persecution, why? Because they were standing up for their faith. They were gathering. They were going out ministering. He says to them, be on guard. Stand firm in your faith. Stand firm. Third, what are you supposed to be? Courageous. Fourth, strong. And finally, do everything in love. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, if you study this, or at least you go find images on Google about this verse, they leave out that last phrase, verse 14. If you look at a lot of devotions about this, you just type in, I'd say half of them don't include verse 14. They have to. This is part of how we stand firm. It's probably the most important thing. Why? Because it's the hardest thing to do. It describes a prepared soldier's posture in the battle, but a prepared one. What's a prepared soldier? The one who puts on the full armor of God. He says, first, I want you to do what? Be on guard. How else would you rephrase that? Be on guard. Be alert. Watch out. Why did Paul tell the Corinthians church to be careful and watch out? Why? Because people are out there to what? Attack them, destroy them, shut them up. And that's what's happening today as well. I can right now, I can say two or three phrases right now, and Facebook would shut us off. Yes, I'm tempted, but I'm not. I'm rebellious, but I'm trying to be a good steward of the opportunity that he's given us. Be on guard, because why? The enemy is prowling around like a lion. Remember we talked about that. He is prowling around looking for your weakness. Is the enemy omniscient like God? No. Is the enemy infinite like God? No. Did the enemy create anything? No. What is it the enemy doing? He's watching for your weakness. Like any good lion, he knows he can't chase down a gazelle. A lion has a very small heart, and he will basically have a burst of energy, and it won't last as long as the gazelle. The gazelle could run forever and ever. Maybe that's what my wife's name should be, Gazelle. And he knows that the gazelle's going to need water, and he's going to turn and drink some water, and the gazelle's going to rest, and the lion's going to find a bush or a tree close to the gazelle when he's not on guard. And the moment the lion sees that the gazelle is relaxed, not paying attention, what happens? The prowler becomes the pouncer, and the gazelle cannot run away. He is looking for your weaknesses. Raise your hand if you have any weaknesses in your life. Okay, we all do. And the enemy is looking for that. That's why we need to be on guard. Because there's so many things out there, not only the enemy in the spiritual realm, but we also have to be, remember there's four forces that we fight against? We need to be on guard. We need to be alert for those rulers, for the evil authorities, for the evil plans of the world and spiritual. We have to be alert and on guard, watchful to God and what he's doing, knowing the signs of the times, being mindful of the threats that are coming against us because we're standing up. And if you don't stand up for God, they're not going to see you standing up for God. For greater is he that lives in me than he who lives in the world, the rulers, the authorities. I stand up. I am on my guard. I need to pay attention. The Roman soldier, he had to pay attention. He had to be on his guard at all times. Your head had to be on what? The swivel, always looking around for that prowling lion. Then he said, I want you to do this. I want you to stand firm. How do you stand firm? What do you stand firm in? Your faith. Who do you have faith in? God. Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. You stand firm that he is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the Lion, the King of Judah. He is the firstborn. He is the one who's created everything. He's the one that has sustained everything. In him, all things have found their creation. And every knee will bow down and every name will confess what? Jesus Christ as what? That is my firm foundation. My faith is in Christ. It's not in my abilities and it's definitely not in my looks. It's not in my position. It's in my relationship with Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. That's my firm foundation. Sounds like a song we sung, the very first one we sung. It is a firm foundation. He says, be stationary. There is no word retreat in the Christian vocabulary. Then he said, be courageous. You know, my wife and I were out of town last week. Took Emily and some of her friends and had a time up in the mountains. And of course, you know, the movie theaters are closed, right? But we wanted to show a movie, and so we grabbed the church portable sound. We grabbed Ruth's projector, our DVD, and this movie called what? Overcomer. If you haven't seen Overcomer, you need to go do it now. In fact, we'll rent you our copy for $10 if you want. And it's about a cross-country theme. And I'm telling you, should we show that? It's a Christian film. Well, we called it an inspirational film. But we needed to make sure that the seeds of faith and hope in Christ, in God, get planted in those souls. And I'm just bracing. Praying, Lord, thank you for this opportunity to be bold and courageous to showing this movie. But I was a little nervous I didn't know what was going to come back on us because, you know, it's Jesus all throughout the movie. But it's good Jesus. It's not the fake Jesus. It's good Jesus stuff. And I'm telling you, there was clapping afterwards. Not a single word came back to us. We live in a time of the day we need to take every opportunity to be courageous, to stand up for Jesus. When in this world, well, if I mention Jesus, I'm going to be ridiculed. I'm going to be made fun of. Someone may defriend me from Facebook. Well, first of all, they're not your friends anyways. We live in a time when the world is trying to close down the church, to snuff the church, to get the light of the church. And we need to be courageous to stand up for him. And I know I've been there, and I know you've been there, where you wanted to talk about Jesus to that person, but you just felt, I don't know if I can. I don't know if I should. Well, I'm telling you right now, what if their tomorrow is not guaranteed? We're not guaranteed a tomorrow. You may not be here tomorrow, but they may not be here tomorrow. Or maybe your paths separate, and you had the opportunity to plant the seeds of hope in Jesus in their life, but you refused to do it because it wasn't convenient. The church isn't meeting. I can't bring people to church to hear about Jesus. Where is that in the gospel? Where you are supposed to be the hands, the feet, the eyes, the mouth of Jesus. We're the body of Christ scattered. And I've said this to you a few hundred times. If someone comes up to you and they discover that you're a believer, you're a Christian, and they say, I would have never guessed it, that is not a compliment. You need to be able to stand up. And I tell you, it's as simple as this. When someone sneezes, don't say Gesundheit, and I don't know how to spell it. What should you say? God bless you. Now, when I sneeze, and I sneeze often, and I have someone that says, God bless you, you know what I say? I don't say thank you. I say, oh, he sure does. And I'm just ready to tell him how God has loved, blessed me. We need to live as billboards for Christ out there when a world is telling us to sit down and shut up and be quiet. And we're going to throw every kind of distraction your way to keep you from being courageous for Christ. Enough said for that? Then he went, be strong. By the power of the Holy Spirit who gives you strength, be strong. In my weakness, he is what? Made strong. And I'm telling you, every time you stand up for Jesus, it's going to be like you went to the gym that morning and you are all pumped up for Christ. Sadly, we have a lot of anemic believers who don't have enough strength to stand up for what they believe right now. It's easy to stand up in church, isn't it? We need to stand up out there. Enough said, right? Then he said, the hard part. Do everything with love. Is that a suggestion, Facebook? No. They're saying no. Must be a typo then. There's my discount Bible. All of these are commands. Be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong, and do everything in love. There are four realms that I've talked about the battlefront. There are four realms that you have to practice love. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, right? Is that an option? Nope, that's a command. And you must love others, those people out there, those people of a different political persuasion than you, those people who support things that you don't support, those people who are maybe vulgar right now, those people who are Saul but not yet Paul. You need to love God, love others, love one another. That's your brothers and sisters in Christ. And the Bible says if they don't see us loving one another, the others aren't going to know that you're my disciples. How do we treat one another? So I mentioned there are four. There's one last. What is one more battlefront that you must make sure you love? You. Yourself. Love God. Love others. Love one another. Love yourself. Everything you need to do, whether in deed, whether it's spoken word or in an email reply or whatever on Facebook, needs to be done in love. How did Jesus love his enemies? Well, because we really don't understand. Oh, I gotta love. How do I? And I gotta treat that person like my favorite friend. No, control yourself. Allow the Holy Spirit to guide you in how you act and react. The second one is my problem. How about yours? Well, I don't think I can do that. Well, that's right. You can't. Humanly, you can't love your enemy, even though we're told to. But God's given you the Holy Spirit, right? Now, what do you find in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23? The evidence of the Holy Spirit that lives in you. We call it the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to say it's the evidence of God in you. What's the very first evidence that God says we need to have? Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, thankful, and self-control. What's the very first one he listed? Has to be the most important, because that's the most difficult. I know some people are unlovable, but Jesus died for them even when they were still yet sinners, like he died for you. You may be associating with someone who's Saul that's not yet Paul. He had given us a lot of reasons to hate him. I know this is a hard one, but you don't have to do it on your own. You do it by the power of the Holy Spirit. John 13, 34, 35 says, Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you, love one another as I have loved you. Oh, why did he put that in there? So that you must love one another, and by this, all others will know that you're my disciples if you truly love one another. It's a witness. And then Matthew 5, in the Sermon on the Mount, we read in verse 43. You have heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemies. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Doggone it. There goes my excuse. They just don't see it the way I see it. I don't have to love them. It takes a real strong person of faith to be able to stand when there's no love and there's hatred around them. Again, how I react to that enemy is going to be very important. Think about this in closing. Will you stand firm when everyone else is falling? What's your posture like right now? What's your spiritual posture like? I was thinking about this morning after my fourth cup of coffee. See, right now I see believers, Christians, who are lying asleep on their bed. Not even a part of this battle. Just not involved. I see some people, their posture is sitting back in a reclining chair, just watching. How many of you, like me, love to watch those crazy pursuits on TV? You know, the cops are chasing. It's entertaining. I'm sitting in my lazy boy watching everything happen. Spiritually, we have too many people watching what's happening and not doing a thing about it. It's so easy to post, but it's a lot harder to practice. There's another posture, and I wish I'd see more Christians, and that is kneeling in prayer. And the last posture is standing up, standing strong. Stand firm. Be alert. These are the ABCs of how to stand firm. Ready? You can take a picture of this. A, be alert. B, have bold faith. C, be courageous. And show love. That's the ABCs of what we need to be doing today. And I hope you're striving for it. I hope you're trying to stand up. Hold on.